If you have your Bibles, quickly, let's start again today from the book of Psalms 23. Let's use that one to start today, Psalm 23. Let's read together from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Let's rise to our feet, everybody. Let's just take that, use that one to start. And I want you to talk like you're alive and well, like you're present there. If you're alive and well, say amen.
Amen.
If God is blessing you, say amen.
Amen.
If the Spirit of Christ inside you is giving life to your mortal body, say amen.
Amen.
If he's healing you of every kind of ailment and has given you perfect health, I want to shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
All right, say after me. Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not
say it. I'm not afraid of anything.
I'm not afraid of lack,
because the Lord is my shepherd.
You
know, one of the things people don't understand, and that's what faith is. When you make decisions in life, it's a reflection of what you really believe. I said before, it is not allowed. No, we have to say this thing squarely, straight, purely. It is not allowed for Christians to save up for their future. Did you hear what I said? Sufficient unto the day is what? I was reading a tweet from, what's the name of this man in Purpose Driven Life? Rick Warren. Yeah, he was saying something in one of the tweets. I read it this morning. And he explained the fact that he said people should relax. They shouldn't forget. God still takes care of tomorrow, something like that. You know, you live in a society where they teach you to plan everything, your whole life, totally. People often forget those things. All right? And how you relate with things in life is a reflection of what you actually believe concerning your future. A lot of people are, you know, they are opposite of generous as givers, all right? Not because they want to be wicked, but because they have to take care of tomorrow. But this scripture is teaching us that I am not allowed to be worried about it. What will happen in 20 years' time? What should I worry about? Nobody knows, actually. I hope you know nobody knows. People are saying, bring up, give us your money so that we can be sure that 20 years' time you'll be safe. They also are not safe. Half of those telling you that will be sacked before that time. Are you getting my point? After the other ones that are not sacked, half will not have. The number will die. Some will gamble away your money. No human, I'm telling you the truth, no human being can assure you of anything. You hear what I said? Please don't ever put your faith in any human institution, not a bank, an investment company. They disappear, they collapse. I say it all the time, Bernard Madoff. Everybody gave him money. Multiply our money for us. Do this one for us. Then one day, they went there, there was no money. What happened? He has no explanation. The man had no explanation. The money just disappeared. Actually, a lot of the money, people said he stole 70, how many billions? 70-something billion dollars. Actually, he didn't steal it. He paid it back to them. That is, he'll tell you that, give me $1 million, I'll be guaranteeing you $200,000. The truth is that he's using that one to pay other people, he's using new people to. It's a Ponzi scheme, a pyramid scheme. And all of them are angry with him. I said, why are you angry with him? You shouldn't be angry with people who are doing the will of God. Did you hear what I said? Shouldn't be angry. The Bible says, if you lay up treasure on the earth, moths destroy, and thieves do break in and steal. The man is the thief that broke in and stole. I'm not saying you should be happy and give him a national award. Although, actually, I think the man should be freed from prison. Yes, do you know why? I don't have time to talk about it. I think the man should be freed from prison. Do you know why? He did not do anything more than those who are hanging out free. Those who are on the streets, who are not in jail, they also stole the money, but they stole it in a legal way. All you need to do is go and read the story of Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs will be selling investments to their customers while laughing behind and saying, my God, this thing is toxic. Yes, they finally had to find them. I forgot how many hundreds of millions of dollars, but forget it. They've made their money. Henry Paulson used to be head of Goldman Sachs. By the time they were doing bailout, he was a minister of finance, you know, the World Community of Finance, in the United States. Let's not go there. So everybody was stealing. You understand my point? Uh-huh. So you cannot put your faith in anybody. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. You cannot. You must put your faith all the time in God. Say it again, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I am not afraid of tomorrow. Even though I have no money saved up, I'm still not afraid. Said my future is secure. Say like you believe it, my life is secure. Say God blesses me, and therefore my needs are supplied. Say I follow after righteousness. Now say soul. Follow after righteousness. I speak to my soul. Say like you believe it, follow after righteousness. And all things will be added unto you. Say it, I follow after righteousness. And all things are added to me. Say, God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He knows where my pastures are. I follow his leading. And I will never be disappointed. Say, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. For this reason, I have a sound mind. Say it, I have a sound mind. I am not worried. I am not confused. And I remember what Requiem said. He said, worry is a sign that you have forgotten that God still supplies needs. Are you getting my point? That's what he says. That once you have forgotten, then you start worrying. Say it again, I am not worried.
I am not worried.
Because God is my supplier.
God is my
say, God is my provider.
God is my
say it again, the Lord is my shepherd.
Therefore,
I will not want.
Therefore,
I will not lack anything. Say it,
he leads me in the path of
righteousness. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I am led by his spirit. And I obey the will of God. Let me say, you know, as I was coming up just now, and you know, I listened to messages in my car as I'm driving, the one I was listening to this afternoon was, I just thought about it this morning. Don't judge any message by the topic. Judge by who is preaching. I don't know what I heard what I said. You didn't hear me. I said, don't judge any message by the topic. Judge it by what? The preacher. If you see a message says by Pastor Banky, the second coming of the Lord, don't believe them. That it is Israel that gave it that title. Or maybe Felix, one of the two of them. All right? Or maybe Yinka, I don't know. You know me, so you know the kind of things I will say. Are you getting my point? Just collect the message. If you want to hear me, you know, Ken Hagin said something long ago that the ministry gifts are people, human beings. So once I see Miles Monroe, no matter what he says, if he says the mechanism of building a house, I know it cannot be a book on engineering, a message on engineering. I don't know what I get my point. It cannot be. The house must be the house of God. The mechanism must be spiritual principles. It cannot be how to calculate the angle of elevation and then the strength of concrete. It can't be. We can't be calculating the gauge of steel wires there. It's not possible. It must be the house of God and how to use spiritual principles. All right? So, what I'm saying is that sometimes you hear me, like the one I was listening to, you know, I digress a bit. I hope you've learned something from that. The point I was making is that today I was listening to Derek Prince. And I was going through the collection I had in the car. I said, which one should I listen to? Which one should I listen to? Oh, marriage and this one, the prudent wife is from the Lord. I said, is that what I want to listen to this morning? But I just decided to choose it. Do you understand? Uh-huh. But you know, the truth is that I have, of course, I've listened to that message, don't worry. I've listened to that message, I'm sure, more than 30 times before, all right? That's just like me. But what I heard from it today, all right, was not even just on marriage. There are things on marriage, his story, his testimony, testimonies I thought I understood, then I hear that again, and then you hear it again, you understand? But it says something as I was coming up. That's where I want to get to, all right? He was talking on marriage, but now he's talking about the leading of the Spirit. He said the leading of the Spirit is in two categories. He said, number one, there's a general one, which we have discussed here before, and then there's a specific one. And he said that the general one is restricted to the knowledge of the Scriptures. I'm going somewhere. Now, some people say that it's your spirit. Forget that. And now I wonder about that thing. The Holy Spirit can witness different ways. What you call your spirit is one of the ways. Do you understand my point? Yes, it's possible. It is possible. I'm not saying he doesn't do it. Don't get me wrong. But for you to say that that is the way by which God leads you, the believers, forget that one. The number one way God leads you is through the understanding of right and wrong according to scriptural perspective. You hear what I said? Number one way he leads is through what? Understanding right and wrong. That is why no matter how much your spirit says something, if you disagree with the word of God, don't disagree. Are you getting my point? It has disagreed. It has disagreed with your life. It has disagreed with everything. Even though you think my spirit is so strong in my spirit as I was sharing it. If it's not in accordance with the word of God, it is not correct. Are you getting my point? Now, I want to just emphasize that again, all right? Some of the last things I heard before I climbed upstairs, all right, this afternoon. But what I want to emphasize again is the fact that a lot of times, now listen to this, a lot of times that God is leading you, you are not even aware that he's leading you. That's what I want to emphasize. A lot of times he's leading. You are not even aware. You think you are just going normally. I don't know if you get my point. You just want to go and eat. It's food. It's, you're hungry. You know, people say that God doesn't lead you through your flesh. You don't know God well enough to be saying all those kind of things. He can. You just wake up. In fact, you know, I told you the day a fan fell right on top where I was sleeping. Do you understand my point? Just before it fell, I woke up and my stomach began to pain. And that was why I got up and went to the bathroom. By the time I came out, a fan had fallen down. And I said, no, God doesn't lead like that. The Holy Spirit will tap you and say, Banky, Banky, I don't want you to die now. Look. No, that was not what happened. I just woke up. I said, what did I eat? That's when I now understood that the Bible says an angel smote, you know, King James, smote Peter on the side. You are getting my point? Yeah, angel smote Peter on the side. That's what it means. Well, maybe his own. Maybe he felt it. Like, wake up. But my own, I woke up. What is going on? I got up. By the time I came back, a fan had fallen. It took it 2 years or so to gently, because it was shaking a bit, grind off the hook. And it dropped. And it's not this light one, it's those heavy ones. Boom! I came. It was on my pillow. Yeah, literally. Who led me away? God. The same God. Did he do it through his spirit? God. Whatever, whichever way. All I know is I woke up. And after I woke the next morning, this was late in the night, maybe like around 11 o'clock, all right? Next day, there was nothing wrong with my stomach. So that's why I tell the story that, you know, an angel smote me. Sometimes God wants to deliver you from troubles. Your car spoils. Somebody disappoints you. I told the story of Jessica before, when she wanted to go to Abuja from Enugu, wanted to enter a bus, a bike man, whether it was a man or a spirit, carried her past where she wanted to stop, so she missed that bus. She met that bus in Lokoja burning with people inside. It had an accident, ran into they ran it into a tanker. Are you getting my point? Please, I know you. A lot of you have came up word of faith level. You say, no, Pastor, forget all of these things. I've told you, just leave God. What did I say? When I say leave now, I'm not saying you should depart from him. I mean, just let him do what he wants to do. He can lead you through his spirit. You know what I mean? What you call your spirit, all right? If you understand it, okay? He can lead you. It is possible that it's only when rain falls that God is telling you something. It's between you and him. Your own, or maybe when it snows in Nigeria, then you will know that the Holy Spirit has come, whichever way. Those are specific ones which each individual will learn with time. Demon Shakira and say, one for him, one major thing was agreement between him and his wife. If he's planning something and his wife is not happy about it, it's not the will of God. Are you getting my point? It's not as if I say, if you and your wife, it may be that you and your wife not be in agreement because one of you slew. But in this case, it wasn't like that. Derek Prince said the Lord used to speak to him. I mean, he would hear the words, I don't know how, but in King James English, thou, my son, thou art quickened to proceed forth. Are you getting my point? The Lord wouldn't even talk to me about like that. He knows I don't read King James. I need to emphasize that. Let him lead whichever way he wants. The only one you can say God always leads like this is through the knowledge of the word of God. You go to a place, you want to work somewhere. The application closed yesterday. Yesterday, gone. And you appear there today. And there's nothing anybody can do for you to help you get in. Don't be angry. See, why did they tell me on time? Did they tell me on time? The way I've understood is that I just smile. This is not the will of God for me. I'm walking away. It is not the will of God for me. That's it. I'll do what is reasonable. Please, is it possible to get an extension? Who is the boss? There are things I have learned. You understand? I've learned these days. I'll just, okay, who is in charge? I walk with the person. I'm so sorry. I got to know about this just yesterday. I didn't know I was going to close that yesterday. Please, is it possible to get an... I'll do all of that. When I finish all of that, if he, at the end of the day, the answer is no. That's it. No. I won't be angry. Because God leads different ways. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So when we are declaring this, we are not joking. And don't say that I have not heard God speak to me before. How can you say you have not heard God speak to you? All this time I've been telling you, who has been speaking to you? All this teaching that we have been bringing forth, who do you think I've been talking to you? You say it's banking? No. I'm a messenger. What am I? So God has been talking to you. Amen? Don't say that. You know, some people say they heard the voice of God. Don't worry. When you get to heaven, you will hear everything. While you're on this earth, once you hear instructions, the word of God, that's good enough. That's the only thing you're allowed to desire. As for visions, it's not compulsory. What about dreams? It's not compulsory. Are you getting my point? If when they happen, they happen. You don't pray, God, I want... No, you don't dictate to him how he must speak. There are different ways. But one thing is sure, if your heart is right, are you getting my point? If your heart is correct, let me say it again. The problem is with your heart. If it is correct, God will always lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Therefore, let's declare it like we believe it. You understand? You know, we made that statement. I just want us to understand what we are saying. Say it again. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
He leads me in the path of righteousness.
Say like you believe it. Say, my steps are ordered by the Lord.
My steps are ordered.
I am led by his Spirit.
I am led by his Spirit.
And I walk always in the will of God.
I walk always in
Let's
the will
say it again. Say, I'm led by his Spirit.
I am led by his Spirit.
Say it, I'm led by his Spirit.
I am led by his Spirit.
My steps are ordered by God. I walk in the will of God. Say it, I walk in the will of God. Listen, we don't want to teach on how God leads. Now, maybe we'll get back to it again, just to emphasize some things for people. The fact that you have not heard the voice does not mean you are not in the will of God. You hear what I said? Oswald Chambers said that only the sick man understands what health is. That if you are healthy, you don't understand what health is. It's only when you have had a bout of sickness, you will now be able to explain what health is. He said the will of God also only makes sense to those who have been out of the will of God. I don't know whether I heard that. That if you are always walking in the will of God, you won't even know you are in the will of God. I don't know whether I get the point. That you'll just be walking normally. That you'll just be walking normally. And what he was trying to emphasize is that that's what the will of God is supposed to be for the people of God. That is their... In fact, this is actually what God is doing. You know, I don't know how many of you got the sermon I sent out today, all right? I explained what God is doing in the lives of believers. He's just trying to convert, you know, how do I say it now? To birth fully the Spirit of Christ inside people. What does the Spirit of Christ mean? People make this mistake. Oh, I'm teaching on leading now. Why am I teaching on leading? Somebody wants an answer. Okay. All right, you'll get it. Okay, but let me just be quick and leave this matter. All right? The meaning of the word spirit in the scriptures, people often misunderstand it. It's such a... The meaning is wide. When they say God is spirit, that's the meaning. That one was just trying to explain to you that God is not physical. That's what he was trying to say. That it's not just those, you know, not just those things that you see, these steps, you know, these kind of things, do this law, sacrifice this animal. I said, no, God is not a physical being. God is in the realm of the spirit. That's the better way to say it in today's English. God is a spiritual being. That is, it's not as opposed to physical. Another way you see the word spirit, All right? Which is also in the scriptures. In fact, the one that, let me just emphasize, there are many of them. Okay? Is when he talks about the propelling force, the center of the thing that is pushing you through life. That is the central thing. The Spirit of Christ. What do you mean by the Spirit of Christ? Is that same thing that's propelling Christ. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. And I say, the Spirit is not a tangible thing. Like I said, there are different meanings. You have to read it in context. So when he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Let me tell you that most of you have never heard this side of it before. Because most Pentecostals look at this other side. That the Holy Spirit will be whispering to you. No. That's not what I'm saying. As many as are propelled when the core substance, are you getting my point? The main thing in their life that is pushing them is that Spirit of God, which means, as an example, Jesus didn't always hear God to heal somebody. What used to move him? Bible says that compassion moved him. That is the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of compassion. It's not just that, it's not every time that you say, the Lord began to speak to me to give that brother money. Alright? The Lord began to speak to me. God can speak to you to give somebody money. Are you getting my point? But the one that speaks to you more frequently is that you perceive his need and you have the resources. That is the Spirit of God. The Spirit that cannot just watch and let somebody just languish in suffering when he has the power to solve it. I'm waiting for somebody to come and say, hey, should I give money? If I want the way to raise money for something. Brethren, we're trying to get money. So one brother talked to another one. That one said, let me go and pray about it. So that guy just said, forget, don't bother praying about it. You know, like, he didn't tell him like that, but in his mind, that listen, I know the amount of money you have. If you have to pray about this, you're not disposed. Are you getting my point? It's like coming to me now. He said that, please, just imagine it, that we're trying to gather money, whether I will give $10,000 to or something. All right? And I said, let me go and pray about it. You know, that's a nice way of telling you that, look, please, I don't want to give to it. Yes, that's it. Because what am I praying about giving you $10,000 to something for? If I ordinary vexation, you know, there are times, you get my point? There are times you even give money because you don't want to be disturbed. I don't know whether you get my point. You get to the office, you say, oh, this is why I'm coming again. You all put money in an envelope. You don't want to see them. I've done it before. You give to people. If these people come, give them this envelope so that they won't come back. When they see the envelope, they will leave me alone. Yes, so I'm going to start going, let me go and pray. What I'll give. So that brother told the other ones, he's like, just forget it. I know what you can afford. For you to be praying about this, your spirit is not disposed. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So it's not everything you can say, let me go and pray. Let me go and pray. You know, sometimes I want to joke now. You definitely know this is my joke. And that's true, I won't talk. If you propose to a woman, she wants to pray about it, she doesn't like you. Now half joke. Now half the joke. You understand my point? After 1 month, she's still praying. She doesn't like you. Forget it. I've told you before, when you are persecuted in one city, what do you do? It's in the Bible. It's not me that said it. It's the word of God. And if you're a woman, you've been praying for 1 month, forget you don't like him. Unless there are serious issues in which we should discuss. Are you getting my point? Which one is... just joking. The Lord is good. Let me go on with my message. The Lord is good. Now, why did I say that? Listen, the fact that you have not heard words doesn't mean you are not being led by the Spirit of God. That's what I'm going to emphasize. When you remove the spirit of this world, what is the spirit of this world? Pride, covetousness, vainglory, competition. If those things are not in what you are doing, all right, as a Christian, you have been led by the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of love. The Spirit of giving. Are you getting my point? Want to be a blessing to people. That's it. You have this thing inside. You know these words that you are speaking. All right? We help people. So you set up a small place where you can give them those words. You say, God has not spoken to me yet, so go and start a small fellowship. You're not trying to start a fellowship. You're not trying to start a church. I don't get my point. You just find that if I go to this school once every week, I can help these young people. And you start going there. If God doesn't like you, he will call you one day through different methods and say, oh girl, oh boy, I think you should stop. If he hasn't said it, you have been led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the right spirit. Are you get what I'm trying to explain? Yes, it's that right thing, that right spirit. Spirit that wants to give, that wants to help, that's not vainglorious. I'm not doing this because I heard now that Emeka is doing something somewhere. And I heard the other day that Stanley has started too. What am I doing? Are you getting my point? Like, no, let them not, those boys, they are now more spiritual than me. I don't know what I get my point. So let me start my own so that they will understand that seniority did this spirituality. That is a competitive spirit. That one, you are walking according to the spirit of this age. Being led by the Spirit of God doesn't mean I pray or pray until my spirit becomes still and then I hear a voice. Some of those voices you are hearing are confusing voices. And the most popular of the voices, the most common, is the voice of your own desire. It's rare. It happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It is rare for a man to go and pray about a girl he likes and Holy Spirit won't say marry her. It's rare. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I just say it is rare. And I have personally witnessed many before. After Holy Spirit said marry her, she still did not marry him. I want to hear, I just smiled myself. So that voice you heard, brother, was the voice of desire. The voice of the thing you really wanted. Because you're a Pentecostal Christian now, you have to color it with spirituality. You have to take time out and pray. Before you went to that, God knew you had made up your mind. He said, are you saying he can't change your mind? You know, God knows something. You think God can just change people's mind? No. Sometimes he can't, in quote. Can't, in quote, now. What do I mean by that? He knows that if I want to change this boy's mind, he will cast me out. So Holy Spirit said, lest I be cast out, let me wait. I will go and block his way another way. The Holy Spirit will color the girl's eyes when you are coming back. When you are showing up like this, you'll be seeing horn on your head. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. One way or the other, you will enter into the will of God for your life. That's your name,
amen.
That's why I declare it again. Say, I am walking in the will of God.
I
may not have heard voices, but I'm walking in the will of God. Because my heart belongs to him. Say it loud, my heart belongs to him. Let's make a declaration again. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Do with it according to your will. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. Please pray this prayer. I said,
Lord,
let me never depart from your will. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I confess again that Jesus is Lord. I confess again that Jesus is Lord over my life. Say, I live for him alone.
I live for him alone.
I live for him who died for my sake. I live for him who rose up again on my behalf. Lord, I belong to you. Lord, you I will serve always. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you said those prayers, say it again. I am walking in the will of God.
I am walking in the will of God.
I am not walking in my own will.
I am walking in the will of God.
No matter how it, no matter how it appears like outside, the Holy Spirit is leading me. God is directing my steps. God is leading me in the path of righteousness. He's leading me into my predetermined destiny. And I will glorify him. All things are working together for my good. Even my disappointments.
Even my setbacks.
They are working together for my good. You know, somebody said something some time ago. He said, your life is like a soup. You know, like a pot of soup that's been cooked. You know, many of those ingredients, if you taste them on their own, they are not nice. Take salt, put it in your mouth. I'm sure you don't like the taste. Just take, you know, dry salt, put it in your mouth. It doesn't taste nice. Is it ogri? You know that one? It smells bad. There are many things you use inside there. Take this, this cocoyam, that small one. Chop it raw small. You know, go like them. Are you getting my point? Many of the things, even the oil. Have you ever tried just licking ordinary oil? It doesn't have a very nice taste. But when you put it together, somebody say together.
Yeah.
When you put it together, your neighbors will come and greet you. Are you getting my point? I was just passing. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you put it together, that is when the taste comes out. Listen, even the negative things of your life, no matter how bad they are.
I was raped, not raped.
No matter how bad. Every single thing is working together for your good.
Amen.
Go and listen to the story of Joyce Meyer. If she didn't pass through what she passed through, she won't be Joyce Meyer that you know today. I hope you are getting my point. Say it again. I'm walking in the will of God.
I'm walking in the will of God is working out his will in me. He is working out his will in me. You know, the power, one of the major things about God, you know, about Christianity, Christ, is that the fact that he brings life out of death. That's one thing. That's why he came and he died. So that he can always bring life out of death. Let's not teach for that we have not gone to our teaching for it. Let's just declare it again. I am walking in the will of God.
I am walking in the will.
God is walking his will in my life. Declare it. God is walking his will in my life. Let's just say this before we go. Say, he prepares a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil. I have divine enablement. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can face the challenges of life. And I will fulfill the assignment of God for my life. My life is not an accident. I was born on purpose. And I will fulfill that purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's say it one more time. Say, I have all my needs met. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. And I abound to every good work. Say, behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river. Say it again. He causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Lack is not my portion. Say, favor is my portion. Doors open for me. Doors open for me. Say it again. Say, doors open for me. I want you to say it one more time. Say, doors open for me. Listen, doors that men said were closed, they will open for you in the name of Jesus. Places where they say you need to know a president to enter, you will walk in there as if they were waiting for you.
Amen.
That's what it means to have favor on your side.
Amen.
Say, favor is on my side.
Favor is on my side.
Because I'm beloved of the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus and take your seats. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Everything we have done so far is Psalm 23. Part of it analyzed. Do you understand that? The word of God is rich. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, the word of God is very, very, very rich. Let's continue our teaching. How to deal with the devil in your life. And today I want to talk about strongholds. What did I call it?
Strongholds.
Strongholds. All right? Because we spend a lot of time doing our recharging. You know, your life must be charged all the time. Yeah, you should charge yourself all the time. Every day. Charge it. Charge it. Charge your batteries. Can't just wake up and be walking around life, you know, without power. All right? And that's how you do it, by infusing the power of God into your life by the release of his words. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, because of time, all right, let me just quickly get into my main teaching, that is without giving too many preambles. I want to just quickly explain the meaning of the word stronghold first. Let's start from that. People often misunderstand what the Bible says when it uses the word stronghold, especially as we read it in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Quickly, let's start from that 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, because the word stronghold is used primarily in the King James version, I will just read that one first, and then I will not switch to the one I use normally. That's New American Standard. Now, Paul was talking about his relationship with the Corinthians. And he said, I didn't want to come to them charging, like we say in today's English, angry, being bold towards them. But they had been accusing him of writing letters that are very potent. But when he comes around, he's very soft-spoken. And he said he had his reason for it. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to bring out is the fact that he said from verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That is using the principles of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's the King James rendering of it. I'm just so addicted to my own usual Bible, so I'd like to quickly switch over to that. So the word he uses in my own script version is fortresses, New American Standard. He said that, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, I'll read further in a moment, but let me just say something. People often look at fortresses, strongholds, like find the King James, as problems in people's lives. What do I mean? You've heard it said, people will tell you that, you know, in your family, nobody marries. In your family, nobody makes money. There is a stronghold. There is a stronghold, and you want to break the stronghold. You've heard it before? If you've not heard it before, you're a Catholic. You don't go to Pentecostal churches. If you go to even an Anglican church, you've heard it before. There are many things Catholics are safe from. Honestly, the Lord is good. All right. Anyway, you hear it around. You hear it around. People blame every problem, and they call it a stronghold. Now, please, let me try my best not to appear as if I'm saying that there are no problems in life. All right? They exist. Number one, that's not what the Bible calls a stronghold. And number two, even though those problems, you find it, you know, in a family, amongst close friends, the reason why those things are there, now, before I tell you the reasons, when people say strongholds like that, what they mean at such times is demonic arrangement. That certain devils have gathered together and have said that this family, nobody will make it. Certain devils have gathered together that there was a covenant that was made between the Arab people and the Ngo people. Omar was preaching, he said that one day. I heard it somewhere. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I said, bros, the Holy Spirit told you this. He said, research in the library. I said, okay. Just for your information, there's nowhere in the world people were not doing evil before. Your village zone is not peculiar. Your grandfather's evil is not unusual. My great-grandfather must have been a spiritual criminal too, just like your own. Yes, we must understand that. If you are outside Christ, you are capable of anything. But most importantly, is that now that you are in Christ, all things have passed away. Please say amen to that.
Amen.
It's very important. The fact that your ancestors were criminals, once their criminality could not stop you from giving your life to Christ, Satan don't lose. You hear what I said? Once their spiritual problems could not stop you from saying, Lord, I give you my life. Too late. Too late. So when people have said those stronghold things, that's what they mean a lot of times. That the ancestors, somebody placed a curse upon the family. Therefore, there's a stronghold. And that hold is strong. That's why it's called a stronghold. So tonight, we are going to make the oppressed go free. Now, you know the interesting thing? Oppressed should go free, amen? But what do you think, from knowledge of the scriptures, actually makes the oppressed go free? It is what? It is what? Truth. And you shall know what? The truth. And the oppressed shall be free. Do you understand my point? And you see the relevance of that in a moment. It is not by casting out demons. Please get my point. I've seen people gather, they say they want to pray to break the stronghold over a city. Well, I won't claim to know much about that. I'll just recommend a book for you, Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin. I referred to it before. Please go and read it. Now, let's get back to what a real stronghold is. I want to say two things. The same thing anyway. Which one do I say first? Okay. I was given an illustration earlier. So even if indeed in that family, they have a stronghold, go and check it. Most of the time, that stronghold is a strong mindset. They all think alike. And you see it in a moment. And it's in the thought processes of a man's life, of a woman's life, that Satan dwells in, or God has the opportunity to dwell in also. Now listen to this. It is how your inner parts work, how you reason. That is what allows God to move in your life or allows Satan to stay there. It is not someone caught somewhere binding people. There was one book we read when we were in medical school, that is in my final year. And we were talking about obesity. Now, please, if you are listening to this and you read Plenty Science, don't bother analyzing. Just get my point. Are you getting my point? Just get my point. The book was saying that sometimes people say that obesity is genetic. Do you understand? So you get to a house, father is very fat, mother is very fat, and all the children are very fat. So the natural modern mind says it is what? Their genes. Is that not so? The book says something which was also common, which is common sense to me. He said one thing you should realize is that they all have the same eating habit. I don't know whether you get the point. That it is not their genes, most importantly. It's their eating habit. You think Americans have more obesity genes than Africans? No, they have prosperity gene, and there's a lot of poverty gene down this side. So now they account for the difference in the weight. I don't know whether you saw my point. It's not gene. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's plenty food. It's a matter of fact. If you grew up in Tonga, you know what they call Tonga? I don't know what they are now, but those days, the Tongis or the Tongalese, what are they? Are they Tongis or Tongalese? The people of Tonga, they are the fattest people on the earth. They were. Why? They had a habit. Every party in a buffet. And buffet is regular. That is, in it, like you come, you hear that, hey, your neighbor just delivered na buffet. You go to the office, somebody retiring, buffet. You come for Bible study, they say, okay, let's just thank God for today's meeting. It was good, buffet. And this is real, you understand? And you have to eat. If you don't eat, you don't love me. You go to your neighbor's house, you don't eat his food, you are the witch. You know that kind of thing. So people habitually ate plenty. And it reflected outwardly. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It's so important we understand this because a lot of times in life, when we blame strongholds, when we call strongholds Satan's, most of the times it is not Satan in that sense. There was something I began to say last week. Let me quickly finish that. And that's the fact that Satan, because he doesn't have power directly in your life, what he tries to do is to get a hold in your life. He wants to ruin my life. He tries to get a hold. And what he does is to tempt. And what's temptation? Disagree with God. That's what it is. If God says, don't eat, eat it. You will not surely die. And when I disobey God, that's what we call sin. Remember what I said before? I said that first of all, before Eve could disobey, could sin against God, her mind had to be touched. As long as she believed God totally, there was no way she could disobey those words of not taking of that tree and eating. All right? But when Satan began to suggest to her, and she began to rethink the commandment of God, doubt set into her, and that resulted in disobedience. And disobedience is what we call sin. Are you getting my point? And once sin has entered, Satan now has a door into a life. And that's what the Bible calls the power of death. She said the wages of sin is death. So now talking about him that had the power of death. Satan had the power of death. What does that mean? When somebody sins, Satan is allowed into the fellow's life, and then he can do his work. And you now see something that God said in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. And I said, as the mountains are, as the heavens are higher than the earth. From verse 8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not yours. Now, that's what I want to bring up. I want to just confirm that sequence. You find out that the thinking is first before the ways come. Are you getting my point? It's how somebody thinks that affects how somebody behaves outwardly. When we say think now, what's important to the person? How does the person, what's the fellow's perspective concerning, you know, what life is about? And that is what a stronghold actually is. And I told you I was going to Derek Prince as I was coming. Derek Prince said something now. I've gotten to the where I wanted to get to. Derek Prince said something as I was listening to that message I was coming. He said that learning truth is easier than discarding the old ways. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, to learn new truth is not the problem. That people often find it hard to let go of the old thoughts they had in their minds. Let me say that again. Derek Prince said that to teach people new truths is not where the problem is, that they can learn it. But having learned the new thing, To not take the old one and throw it away is the most difficult thing for Christians to do. And that's actually what Paul calls strongholds. Stronghold is not Satan. Even though Satan will thrive in the stronghold. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Because if you have thoughts that are not God's thoughts, then you will have ways that are not his ways. And those ways will be the ways of disobedience. And that is where Satan will crawl in through. However, what the Bible calls a stronghold is in the mind. It's a thought pattern that we won't just let go. I remember a brother I knew once. He had two strong goals in his mind. Two. There was no talk we did not talk, but he wouldn't change his mind. You see him, he had one. The first one was that he believed that the best opportunities in life were in Lagos. And one would try to explain that each person had a divinely appointed geographical area. He said, no, the Bible says you possess anywhere your feet go. Is it? You know what I'm talking about. And okay, why don't you just go and possess somewhere else if this place is not getting easily possessible? No, because if it's everywhere, are you getting my point? Why are you localizing it to this place? There was no talk, we didn't talk. That is, his own. And the thing is that Lagos was not being favorable to him. Favorable was not being nice to him at all. That was one. Number two, bro, you have age where man should take wife. There was something he used to say all the time. Every time he talked about it, he said, listen, no, this is what he believes. Now, why I remember this, my friend, is that no matter how you spoke, take scriptures and begin to teach. Those days, I pray he has repented now. I've not seen him in a long time. I just trust God that he's changed. Take scriptures, teach. If you get to those two things, that's where he will land. And listen to me. If God cannot persuade you, he can't bless you. You hear what I said? That is why anytime I hear anybody say something that is against the word of God, you know, principles, I charge. The way I respond, I'm just afraid for you. You tell me something like, I can't marry people from this area. I must marry people from this area. That is, I'm just upset. And you're talking normal human geographical area. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you say, I can't marry people who are from this spiritual, I don't believe God exists. Are you getting my point? I can understand. Anybody who doesn't believe the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that's very spiritual, amen? But like, no. You know me. If anybody comes from across the river, lie. You know Nigeria, this river, Nigeria is very, it's a very serious river. Those on that side are looking at those on this side. No, I'll tell you this will make you laugh. One day in my office, one man in my office, we're describing one lady that went for a course. She's a specialist in that area. She comes from abroad. So, he was saying that, isn't that Yoruba woman? Now, listen. I said, no, now. She's not Yoruba now. So, after talking, he said, she's from Edo State. The guy said, all of them are the same thing now. Now, if you go to Yoruba land, those ones, once from Edo State down to Port Harcourt, as far as they are concerned, all of them are the same thing now. That they had a good laugh. That is, somebody sits here and says that once they all cross the side, you know, everybody from that area, they are the same. And you know, people use this funny mentality. And used to decide who's good husband, who's a good wife. Now listen, let me quickly explain something here. I am not saying, look, listen, there's what Chris Okotie, one day I went to Chris Okotie's church, you know, he was talking about some apocalypses of Gargantuan. I was trying to describe the panoply with which you handle the conglomeration, you know. Actually, that day, the subterfuge with which he was releasing the trepidating. The Lord is good. Those who have heard Chris Okotie before, they know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but you know, in the midst of all this big English, the man has a way of taking some scriptural words and breaking them down, and you get something. So that day I got something. It was one of my, one guy, when I was a resident, he was house officer, he was getting married, so I went for the wedding in the church. So I was talking about iniquity. The blood of Jesus washes us away from all iniquity. So that took the word iniquity and began to explain it. And he said the word iniquity talks about the, let me say, I'm about to drop one big English now. I'll drop it there, I'll explain, please. All right? It talks about the proclivities of a group of people. Are you getting my point? All right? That's the only English word. No, that's not Chris Okuti. That's just the only English word I know to use for that. That is, let me use the word, the bad tendency. Yeah, that's a good word. All right? The bad tendencies of people. That's what tendencies. He said, for example, this was the example he gave that day. He said, for example, that's what iniquity refers to. For example, now they will tell you that an Ijebu man is very stingy. You've heard that thing before. Yeah. All over the country, even from the west down to the north, the Ijebu man is supposed to be a stingy man. But actually, Ijebu-ness, just to educate you, goes beyond being stingy. Is that the people are very, I don't want to use the word prudent, but very shrewd. That's a good word. Shrewd. Give me another one. That is, they said that your landlord, all right, that maybe you are living in a house, massive house like this. Maybe you rent it through an agent, and then you bought a big car, you understand, and parked it. You won't know. Your landlord will come and greet you and say, ah, this your car is fine, though. May God bless us to this level. Meanwhile, he's your landlord. That big house you are paying rent on, he's the owner. And that, but he will come looking very, very ordinary and all of that. Anyway, just by the way. So the point is that, that was the example he gave. So you say, so you may say things like, that the iniquity of the Jebu man is that he's stingy. Doesn't mean everybody there is stingy. I hope you get the point. All right? But just that's the natural tendency towards doing evil. Now, why I went to all of that is that I accept that this exists. There are places, everybody has his own natural iniquities, using the words of Pastor Chris now. Do you understand? However, our emphasis, that's where I'm going to, is that as believers, we must go beyond that level. And if you are marrying as a Christian, you're not marrying the Jebu man. Are you getting my point? You are not marrying the Arrow woman. Please, get what I'm trying to say. You are marrying a child of God. And that is why, for you as a believer, that must be the serious matter. It's not where you came from. It's what are you doing right now? You know, you understand what I'm saying? With your life, with the word of God. No matter where you're from, if the word of God is the center of your life, you will become anything that God wants you to be. That's what I say all the time. We're not looking for nice guys. We're not looking for nice babes. We're looking for people who love the word of God. If you don't love the word of God, no matter how nice you are, you're a potential receptacle of evil spirits. Yes, it's true. Because you don't know what a man, a woman can become when Satan enters, when he finds a way into the person's heart. What are you? Once the Holy Spirit is not inside you, Satan, if he faces your case, if he can do Eve what he did to Eve, who are you? When he comes one day with temptation and explanation and, you know, and opportunities, you walk into sin. And it's not that thing you did that he's looking for. He's looking for doors to bring in seven spirits more wicked than himself. That is why we don't want nice guys. Who wants to marry a nice guy? Say amen. Good, thank you. I'm happy there's nobody here. Who wants to marry a nice babe? Say amen. Good, thank you. Thank you. I'm happy there's nobody like that here. A woman who fears the Lord. Are you getting my point? She shall be praised. She may not be nice. Her hair may not be good. Once she fears the Lord. Are you getting my point? Yes. Just they talk rashly. Just fear the Lord. You can't, you know. Are you getting my point? He doesn't even know how to talk. Just open her mouth. Just talk anyhow. Talk anyhow. Just fear the Lord. Are you getting my point? When you have finished your bad behavior, we'll take the fear of God and make it into something that nobody will be able to recognize that is you. That's what we're talking about. Now, back to where I went into all of this, all right? So I recognize that people differ, all right? But what we are emphasizing is the fact that we're not talking about the natural man. We are talking about spiritual people. We are talking about children of God. Remember I said something last time? You are not allowed to disagree with God. If he says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. You can never say he's not. If you say he's not, you have opened the door to the devil in your life. I've not forgotten my message, stronghold. What's a stronghold? It's a strongly held thought, belief. You understand? Conceived ideas in the mind. Ideas in the mind that disagree with the revealed word of God. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. That's what a stronghold is. I'm going to look, listen, there are different areas. Because of time, we can't go into all of the areas. But this is the point I'm trying to emphasize. Satan dwells everywhere there's a stronghold. No matter, listen to this, listen to what I want to say. No matter how nice the strongholds are. You know, some strongholds are nice. I don't know what I get by nice. He's not an evil person. He just says nicely, no, I can never take that from a woman. Any man, woman tells me that kind of thing, forget it, I'm divorcing her immediately. This guy doesn't hurt a fly. He's a nice guy, he doesn't womanize, does not drink, does not smoke, neither cigarette nor wee-wee. Just a nice guy. But inside his mind, what does he have? A stronghold. You talk from now till tomorrow. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh, and whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And he's just giving you examples. What if, not to last time, once they begin with what if, they are courting the devil. Satan, please, I prepared the table before you in the presence of my family. Come and eat with us. When he's asking, what if, using explanations. Your what if is to explain away the word of God. He said, but Pastor Mark, what? Listen, don't what me. What is your answer? Be it unto me according to your word. You can never use crazy people to try and explain that the word of God does not work. I don't know whether I get my point. When you want to take this marriage and divorcing as an example, did not start telling you examples of people who are on drugs, who are demon possessed. I said, what do you want the woman to do? What I'm going to say is that don't use no. We are trying to obey the word of God. They are not trying to give us extremes. It's only Satan that does that. I'm bringing an issue here. No matter, some people, their strongholds, they are nice people. They just have a very nice stronghold. That's some very, very funny stronghold. If a girl is from a divorced home, I'm sorry, I can never marry her. Why? They start giving you statistics. It has been found out that 50%, and actually statistics, you know, please, to the word and to the testimony. You know, there are things if you say, do you follow? You are telling God, don't bless me, don't bless my children. Yes, because I said something last time, Satan dwells where we are disagreeing with God. Listen, sometimes some of these things are not, you are not even participating in them. For example, let me give you a very simple example. You are heterosexual, you are married to one wife, like Barack Obama. Is Barack Obama homosexual? But then he gets up and says, why shouldn't the homosexual man marry a homosexual man? Listen, every judgment God wants to give to those who are campaigning for that, he will give Obama his fair share. You know, because God says it's not only those who do them, but those who take pleasure in those that is how you reason. You can't, look, listen, there are things, let me just give you more practical. There are things you cannot, for example, now I'm already married. Amen? Say amen now, don't you know? Ah, you are not aware. This ring is not just decoration, no. It's real. Now, even though I'm married, are you getting my point? If I make certain statements, like the type I tell you, don't say, I got married from this area. You see, I'm married. I'm not planning to marry another wife. Are you getting my point? But you see, I am opening the door for an evil spirit into my home. My children, they are in trouble. Interestingly, those who I minister to and who come to me for counsel, they have to be careful. Because that evil spirit that I have collected, even though directly, I can't use it. You understand what I'm saying? I can't use it. It can't do anything for me. But it starts speaking through my mouth. It starts injecting the wrong spirit into other people. That's what the Bible calls stronghold. What is a stronghold? Any strongly held thought pattern that disagrees with the word of God. Sometimes it doesn't even concern you. That's why I gave this marriage as an example. I'm already married, but I make certain statements. It disagrees with God. It's a stronghold. There are manifestations of God that will never come into my life. I think like that. More importantly, for this what we are discussing, is that that's what Satan is looking for. Because you must understand, in your life, you're a gatekeeper for certain people. You are a gatekeeper into certain areas. Adam was guard it and keep it. That was his assignment. He was a gatekeeper into that garden. You are a parent, you are a gatekeeper for the lives of your children. That's why I tell you, listen, something may be far away from you, all right? It's happening in Myanmar. It's happening in America. How you respond to it here, it matters because these are spiritual principles. It matters. Don't ever forget that thing. It's not just about your life. You're a gatekeeper. You're a gatekeeper. What comes into the lives of your children, it has to pass through you. If you will refuse and totally refuse to allow it to come in, it can't. There are two ways people allow Satan into the lives of their home, into their homes and into their children and all of that. One, there's by default, that is like you're reckless. You didn't take charge of what you're supposed to take charge of. There's sometimes you actually are actively pumping it in. Both of them about the same thing. What that means is that you don't instruct your children in the way of the Lord. The gate is open for Satan. It's not just like it's only when you call Satan that he comes in. If you don't block the door, you have to teach your children justice, fairness, forgiveness, generosity, positive speech, love. You have to teach them everything. You have to teach them self-control, everything. Instructing them every time they do something. Teach them justice. You know, he said, I have chosen him that will instruct his family after him in the way of the Lord so as to learn to do justice and righteousness so that God can bring to pass what that which he promised Abraham. We read that a number of times in Genesis chapter 18. A number of times we read it. So you are a gatekeeper. So what I'm going to bring out today is that when we're talking about strongholds, stronghold is not somebody, Satan somewhere is casting spell. That's not a stronghold. Go and check a lot of those families who say they are in bondage to something. Talk to them. Some of those people that say nobody in this family breaks through, go and check the worship money. To them, money is everything. And the Bible is a commandment. Anybody that loves money will not have enough. So that is the problem. You know, that's why it appears sometimes as if Christians are coming under the influence of those curses. It's not because they are cursed. It's because, you see, God said something to the people of Israel. He said, you are going to this land. Around that Leviticus chapter 18. You go in there, you will find these people. This is how they are. This is how they are. This is how they are. You find them. Barack Obama is their president. Just by the way, just for you to know what they call Antichrist, and you will not be able to buy and sell. Are you getting my point? Do you know World Bank has, is IMF, they withheld back loan from Uganda because of their anti-gay bill. One day they will, listen, if the Antichrist has his way, he will say anybody, no, not even, they're already doing it. In America now, the problem they're having is California, one of the states just passed a law, all right? They tried to make a law so that it will protect Christians from refusing to participate in what they don't believe in. Because it is right now, if they are doing a homosexual marriage and you're a cook, you're a caterer, if you refuse, they can sue you that you are discriminating. You can imagine you're a church woman, Christian, and you are the one serving as Adam is marrying Steve, you know, that kind of thing. You know, you go, oh, one kind, you know, that kind of thing. That's just by the way, that's by the way. But anyway, the governor vetoed the bill because all the powerful companies, the state legislature passed the law. Signed to law now, the governor vetoed the bill. Why? Because the powerful companies, you know, threats. We will draw our companies, we will close our factories, and all those kind of things. Yes. Listen, I don't want to go into it. You know, this one that they say that they will plant chip in your hand if you don't carry chip on your head is a lie. Do you understand my point? Don't believe all this nonsense. Say Motorola and Microsoft designed a chip that they plant in your hand and your forehead. Don't take it. It's crap. Technology is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a spirit. And it's already in effect. The other day, I don't know, you know, you've heard of Dog Dynasty. There was an issue about Dog Dynasty. A man says that, look, guys, what are you doing? That's better to marry a woman than a man. Why are you doing this? Just that simple comment. They kicked the guy off his show. They kicked the guy off his show. They did. But good enough, the other guys rose up and said, eh, is that so? So America, no freedom of expression again. They say, all right, fine, this is what we're going to do to you guys. In fact, one shop, because they started pressuring other shops to remove the guys, you know what they call, is it memorabilia, all this, okay, you know, you can go and buy a shirt now, Michael Jordan, you know, stuff like that. So anyone selling anything with that guy's name on it or that shoe, they stopped selling it. They went after the guy economically. So people rallied and said, no problem. That shop that took their those merchandise down, everybody said, all right, everybody boycott the shops. 24 hours, they brought it back up. It was a game of money. War. Economic war. So when he says that they will not be able to buy or sell except they take the mark of the beast, that's what he's talking about. When the Antichrist has the power, that is, you disagree with him, you can't do business. You can't and I can't borrow money. That is not a joke. You are, in case you did not know, now you are aware. You are living in literal end times. When I was in secondary school, I believed it by faith that it's end time. Now I know it's end time. I've seen things I did not believe will happen in my lifetime. Hey. Anyway, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I get into all of that? I was going to bring out an issue, all right? That is, you know, that was a digression. I told you, that's just a digression. I just went off tangent there, you know, trying to explain some things, all right? So that God told the people that you are going to that land, all right? There, you will meet people that are doing things that are wrong. It commanded them, level everything, kill everybody, wipe them out, wipe the place clean, and you start afresh. He now said, listen to this. Be careful you don't learn the things that they are doing. Even though you are my people, even though I redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb, even though I took you to the wilderness, even though, like Paul will say later, I passed through the sea, which was a form of baptism, even though you ate manna, and then I brought you into that land. If you do what they are doing, which is the reason why I'm kicking them out, listen, no, the land will also vomit you up. I will also kick you out like I kicked them out. I'm sorry, all our relationship will mean nothing when it comes to the time of judgment. That is a problem a lot of Christians have with these so-called devil and ancestral problems. Because you see, salvation, Paul's talking about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is not just, hey, I'm giving my life to Christ. Oh, yes, I've been saved. Praise God. You know, that's not just what that salvation is about. There's one sermon I'm writing. I'll try and finish it on time. All right? You'll read it shortly. It's titled, How the Truth Sets Free. How does truth set free? It makes demands. I don't know what I said. Yes. When you have new light, it makes a demand concerning your current thinking, you know, your thinking process, and therefore your ways, how you do things. So what happens to a lot of Christians? God has delivered them. Ancestral curse is not your portion. You are not under it. All this problem is not your, but, he says, wait. You are still loving money the way your uncles and your brothers love money. This is scripture. You won't have enough of it. People are going to say, I'm under a curse. You're not under a curse. You're under wrong thinking. You're literally under a stronghold. You're not under a curse. You're not that kind of, you know, ancestral curse. You're under the curse of disobedience to the current word of God that has been revealed to you. Do you get my point? Yes, there are some attitudes that don't attract some things. It's not curse. I'm talking about to deal with the devil in your life. You ask yourself, this is my attitude towards life. Does it attract good? Or it repels it? And when I say attitude, I mean stronghold. You see, he said my ways are not your ways. He said my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. It's the thinking pattern that becomes behavior pattern. We don't just change behavior. That's why people make the mistake. We change what? Thinking. It is a stronghold. That is what the stronghold is. Listen, let's quickly read that. Then I close. I have to close now. All right? We began to read this. I had to explain that. He said, we are wrestling. He said, for the weapons of our warfare, sorry, I wanted to say, are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That word, fortress, is what King James calls strongholds. Now, what are the fortresses? He said, we are destroying speculations. Verse 5. And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought. Every what?
Thoughts.
Every what?
Thoughts.
We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is, the strongholds, what are they? They are speculations, lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God, and thoughts. Those are the things that are called strongholds. Strongholds are not evil spirits. Are you getting my point? They are not curses. They are the thinking patterns, the thoughts, the ideas that people have in their hearts. And that is what needs to be broken. Like I said earlier, that is where Satan actually dwells. I can't start giving examples of thoughts now. There are many of them. I give you an example of somebody who believes that if I'm not in Lagos, I cannot be blessed. It's a stronghold. There's one very funny one I use once in a while. Very common. I must marry a man who can take care of me. It's a stronghold. You know that? Yes, it's a stronghold. So what are you saying? I am saying marry a man who together you can do the will of God. Nobody was sent to come and take care of you. You are not a problem. It's true. It is true. Those are strongholds. You know, I told you, ministry, people counseled me. I can remember two people who were senior to me in this work of the ministry explained that you must start a church. Now, please, listen, nothing wrong with starting a church. You've seen me announce from here that one of our brothers started a church somewhere and encouraged people to go and attend. Many of my friends, co-ministers, they started churches. When I go tell you I'm going out to preach, there are many churches I go to minister. Are you getting my point? Nothing wrong with it. But it's a stronghold I'm talking about. So if you don't start a church, nobody will respect you. That is, people tell you things like that and they believe it. Even if they don't start a church, it's a stronghold in their minds. Their counsel in that area is not worth anything. Strongholds. Talking about ministry. The only way to get money for ministry is to have church services on Sunday so you can collect the tithes and the offerings. When a man tells you like that, no matter the preaching you want to preach, your name is Pastor Banky, you think you have a revelation from somewhere, explain that tithing is in Christianity, is generosity. You can never hear it because he started that church to collect the tithes. I don't know what I get my point.
No.
Yes, he started the church to collect the tithes. You now want to tell him that it's not compulsory. What are you? The guy is like, what do you mean? You want to spoil shoes? See, strongholds, he doesn't let you understand. He removes the wisdom of the learned. I was telling the other time that I look at scientists. There are major breakthroughs they can't have because they believe in this neo-Darwinian evolution. They said everything came out of nothing. Nothing exploded and became something. And something that came out of nothing began to rearrange and became even more something, liking something. Yeah, you get my point? And became complex until all of us now evolving to be human beings. Make a long story short, we came out of nothing. And for that idea, God said, there are many things I would have loved to teach them. They can't understand it. Because they have what? A stronghold. That's what strongholds are. It doesn't let the liberating truth of God can't come into people's hearts. Why? They've just held on to one idea. They lock it. Oh God, and one thing about stronghold is very powerful. That's why it's called a stronghold. That's why I call it a stronghold. Power. You will talk to you that you won't know what the fellow is thinking. I remember one man of God I went to speak to once about something. My wife knows what I'm talking about. As I was talking to him, I told my wife, no point. He's not listening. He's not hearing. It has to do with, you know, maybe church, money, stuff like that somewhere. I just said, no, this attitude, it was attitude matter. It wasn't practice. And that's attitude. Practices come from attitude. Your thoughts produce your ways. That's it. So I perceived from his words. And look, there's a book another book I'm supposed to release. I've not even written it. Just the outline. On marriage, which I called I Need to Know. What do I mean by I Need to Know? What you just need, before you marry a man, marry a woman. Let the fellow, that is, all this is not, what are you doing now? What's in your account? No. Talk, let me hear. What about talk? I want to use it to check your attitude towards life. You have a wrong attitude, no matter how rich you are now, you will be poor. You have the right attitude, no matter how you're poor now, you will be rich. You have the right godly attitude, I will be happy being your husband, being your wife. So before you marry a man, marry a woman, use style, whatever you have to do to decode what this person is thinking. See the kind of books the fellow is holding and reading. talk. You know, that's the thing. He's I discerned that from this fellow's talk. I said, this guy's attitude is not good. I did something I hardly do. I said, let me talk with him. When I began to talk, you know, you just know when you're not talking, you're talking to yourself. And you're bouncing in my face. I began to have frontal headache from my own words. As my words were hitting me in the head like this. Well, not literally like that, but but I knew my words were not good. And I told my wife, there's no point. I hope you hear what I said. Though I've not finished my message, maybe we'll finish it next time. Talking about to deal with the devil in your life. At least I've understood now where the devil hides in our strongholds. What's a stronghold? Every strongly held idea, thought, you know, thinking pattern that disagrees with the revealed word of God. That is where Satan stays. That is what prevents the truth of God that's supposed to liberate us from really pushing us into the liberty that God created us to have. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's share the grace. Because we are still practicing, let me just read it out. Repeat after me, all right? Let's share the grace in fellowship. Say it, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness. Into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse. Into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. Say, this is our season of fruitfulness. Say, this is my season of fruitfulness. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus.